All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, hope you have. No man goes to war without a weapon. And we're warring, folks. John chapter number 5. Some of you, they handed an M1 to, some an M14, some an M16, and other things I'm sure they've got in there. Most of them got a 45 automatic, M1911. And they give you that to go to combat with. Well, this is your weapon right here. This Bible. John 5:43. Let's start reading with verse number 39. The Lord said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." Father, anoint this blessed word and send it forth, Father, for the purpose that you intended. And I know it will not return into thee void, but will accomplish that which you please and prosper in the thing that you've sent in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Almost 1,000 years ago, a prophecy was given by a man named Saint Malachy. It listed the popes all the way down to the present time, a number of popes, and said the 113th pope would be the last pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Tom Horn, Chris Putnam, wrote a book entitled Petrus Romanus, or Peter the Roman. And in that, the thesis is that the present pope, Pope Francis, is the last pope of the Roman Catholic Church. I hope they're right. Because if they are right, we're about to leave here. Amen. Amen. You know, I cannot say for certain that Malachy had any idea what he was talking about. But we do know that Pope Benedict, the one that was in there just to Cardinal Ratzinger, that was the pope right before this one, was forced out. He was forced out. And so this is why he resigned in office. And I think it happened once before, maybe. I don't remember. But anyway, he was forced out. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that you don't get publicly. And Francis took his place. He was the Archbishop of Argentina, Buenos Aires. And he took his place and was made the pope. And according to the prophecy, this is the last one, the 113th pope. And if it happens, I don't think it's going to be long at all before the Lord Jesus comes back. One of the things that I saw at the Republican National Convention last week is when an avowed homosexual, a sodomite, got up in front of them, gave a speech the last night, and said, "I am proud to be gay." And the people jumped to their feet in applause. Oh, how proud they were and how happy that he had come out openly and announced that he was gay and how proud he was to be gay. Mitt Romney, 4 years ago, 2012, the last cycle, ran for president. And they say that that could never have happened at the Republican convention 4 years ago. We've come a long way in 4 years. We've come a long way in 4 years. I don't know what another 4 years holds. I don't know if we make it that far or not. But anyway, what it says is that there is definitely a progression going on out here, and that we need to be aware of it, and we need to be aware so that we can make provision and know who our enemy is, identify our enemy, and deal with him. You have to do that. You've got to know who you're fighting. And so St. Malachy says that the 113th pope is the last one. The Lord Jesus says that, "I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. But if one come in his own name, him you'll receive." He's talking about the Antichrist here. He's talking about the coming of the man of sin. Now, I have never in my little short lifetime seen as much blatant in your face Antichrist spirit as I have today. It's there, folks. It is there. And so we need to be conscious of that tonight. We'll be looking for it. And so what I'm going to do tonight is take some of the things that Cardinal Bergoglio, Pope Francis, has said to give you an idea of how close we are to the second coming of the Lord. Because if these things that he says represent the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church, then we've got something on our hands here tonight that is definitely fulfilling Bible prophecy. The Pope Francis calls for a new global political authority to save humanity. In other words, a one world government. He says that the only way humanity is going to be saved is with a one world government. I say to you tonight, the only way humanity is going to be saved is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way. And the kingdoms of this world are going to get worse and worse. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You see, my perspective on the world and the Pope's perspective are two entirely different things. We are not going to rescue humanity. And we're sure not going to do it politically. And he thinks that we need a one world government. And of course, with a one world government will be a one world religion. He was posed with the question. He was in the Rio de Janeiro, the World Youth Day. He visited the slums, prisons, blessed the Olympic flag, and brought 3 million people to Copacabana Beach for a final mass on a Sunday morning. He has made another headline, this time when the pontiff said, "When asked about a gay man, who am I to judge a gay man?" He says again, "One person asked me in a provocative manner if I approved of homosexuality. I replied with another question. Tell me, when God looks at a gay person, does he endorse the existence of this person with love or reject and condemn this person? We must always consider the person." So his answer is ambiguous at best. In plain words, uncertain and unclear. But the idea is that, well, he is what he is, and apparently God made him that way, and so we must be loving and accepting. The emerging church is preaching that very same thing. And I'll tell you why. It's a very convenient doctrine, because homosexuality in this country is running wild. It is one of the protected victim classes in America. It's one of those protected classes. And homosexuality is beginning to morph and manifest itself in all the different ways that perversion can. And it's a sad thing that when given the opportunity that this Pope could not simply quote the Bible, "For this cause God gave them up." That's what it says in Romans chapter number 1. "And he rained fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone, because of their sin. When they wanted to take those angels and know them," they said. When asked about abortion and gay marriage and contraception, he says, "We cannot insist only on issues related to abortion or gay marriage and the use of contraceptive methods. This is not possible. I have not spoken much about these things, and I was reprimanded for that. But when we speak about these issues, we have to talk about them in a context. The teaching of the church, for that matter, is clear, and I am a son of the church, but it is not necessary to talk about these issues all the time." Let me tell you the issues, folks, that I believe a God-called preacher is going to talk about. They're going to talk about the world you live in and the answer for your problems. That's the issues. They're not going to talk about the world of the 17th or the 18th or the 19th or the 20th century. They're going to talk about the world of the 21st century. I was born in the 20th century, right about midways, and I've seen an awful lot change. And the acceptance of abortion, almost 70 million babies have been aborted in this country. Nobody speaks up for the babies. Who speaks up for the children? And I've noticed something in my little short lifetime on this earth. Every abortionist, every last one of them, with no exceptions, have been born. They got here, but they want to deny a child the right to be born. I would think if the Constitution of the United States means anything, for the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That life should be granted to a child, an unborn child, the most innocent in our midst. And you can try to justify it any way you please. The killing of unborn children is a heinous crime and a heinous sin in the sight of God. But the Pope is a very, very smooth operating Jesuit priest. And he wants to be able to get along, to get along. Now, Pope Francis says this about fundamentalism. He says, fundamentalism is a sickness that exists in all religions. We Catholics have some, not just some, so many, who believe they have the absolute truth. And they move forward with calumnies, with defamation, and they hurt people they hurt. And I say this because it's my church, also us, all of us. It must be combated. Religious fundamentalism isn't religious. Why? Because God is lacking. It's idolatrous, as money is idolatrous. Making politics in the sense of convincing these people who have this tendency is a politics that we religious leaders must make. But fundamentalism that ends up always in tragedy or in crime, in a bad thing, comes about in all religions a little bit. Now, how many of you have seen any Amish people blow anybody up? You haven't. You won't. But did you know that even as many people that have died at the hands of these murdering Muslims in the last 30 days during the month of Ramadan, and they number now in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, that the government of this country comes out and says that their focus is not on Islam, because Islam is a peaceful religion. Their focus is upon fundamental Christianity. That's insanity. That is pure insanity. I can't go back over the last year and name one time that a fundamental Christian, a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, went out and blew anybody up. Can you? Can you quote me one time? One time. You see, the idea is that the Bible is a relevant, is a book that teaches relevant, not absolute truth, but relative truth. That's the word. All right. In plain words, you use the Bible to pull out moral teachings. You can pull out whatever you want to pull out of it and help you along in your spiritual journey. But never read the Bible like it is a book of absolute truth. Because once you begin to read the Bible like it's a book of absolute truth, you become a fundamentalist. Well, I'm a fundamentalist. Because when I read the Bible, I take the Bible as God's holy word. And God didn't write the Bible to deceive me. God wrote the Bible to give me the truth. And he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. The Bible is not a book about relative truth. In other words, what may be moral for a Christian may be immoral for a Hindu. That's relativism. That's what this Pope is talking about. This Pope is saying, don't be caught up in fundamentalism to where you are so tied up with what the Bible actually says that it becomes a real guide in your life. Let your conscience and your spirituality and your circumstances guide you in your walk in the earth. That's exactly what he's teaching. That's exactly what he's telling people. And that's a shame, because I am a fundamentalist. If you ever deal with electricity, you better know the fundamentals of electricity or you're going to get shocked big time. You better believe it. It's an amazing thing to me how that everything else, you have to learn the fundamentals of it and you got to know what makes it tick. But when it comes to the Bible, it's just, no big deal. Just pick and choose, cafeteria religion, pick and choose what you please. That won't work, folks. That won't work. And then a Vatican expert who's written 9 books on the Holy See and the men who lead the Catholic Church called Monday's meeting between Pope Francis and Muslim leader Sheikh Ahmed El Tayeb proof that the current Pope is the most credible claim to the title friend of Islam in the world. In plainer words, this Pope is a ecumenicist. And he's a very strong one. He's a very strong ecumenicist. So what does that mean? That means that he wants to pull all the religions together. He wants to pull them together. Let me tell you something, folks. There is nothing about Islam that's compatible with Christianity. The Issa of the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Allah of the Quran is not Jehovah God of the Bible. When they say Allahu Akbar, right before they cut your head off and blow your brains out, they are not saying God is great. That's what you get from the news media. That's their interpretation of it. That's not what they're saying. They're saying Allah is great. You say Allah is God. No, Allah is their God, the moon God. The only true and living God is the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That comes out of that book right there. That's the only true and living God, folks. He's the only one. And he stands above his creation. Apart from it, above it, he's holy, holy, holy. He's the Christian God. Amen. But he's not the Muslim God. And so when you have people in this country who try to merge Islam and Christianity, and they call it Chrislam, what have you got? You've got a perversion. You've got an aberration. But you've also got the basis of ecumenicism. You've got the basis of a one world church and one world religion. And that's what's coming out of the churches today. Because the churches in America are so shallow that all they're built upon is a feel-good religion. And they can have a sign out in the front that says Baptist. And they can have a thing on the wall that says, these things we believe. And they can have a church covenant and all this stuff. But what you hear coming from the pulpit and how these people live their lives is what you need to look at. Amen. Not their profession, but their possession. Amen. What they are. I preached a lot of revival meetings all over the country in churches that had church covenants. Have you ever seen one? We've never had one at Temple. I'm nothing against them at all. I'm just simply observing something here tonight. And I'd read them. I'd practically, every church I ever went to, I'd read that covenant. I'd read that church covenant. Little country churches out here in the backside of nowhere, you know, I'd read. And I always was impressed with it. I thought it was a good document. I thought it was a good thing. The church covenant. And I looked at it and it inspired me and blessed me to read what these folks had to say. But that's not what you are. What you are is what you live. And what your church is what's preached behind the pulpit of that church. And what the people embrace in that building. That's what you are. You put the Ten Commandments. I can put the Ten Commandments all over these walls. The Ten Commandments, by the way, are 3,400 years old. Do you know what people were doing to each other 3,400 years ago? Do you know what people were doing to each other 1,000 years ago? You know what they're doing to each other right now? And the Ten Commandments, when you look at them and read them, something that is 3,400 years old, you look at it and you say to yourself, my goodness, these people had already reached a pinnacle in their faith. That God had already brought them up out of the jungle and given them something good. And they didn't get it in Egypt. They'd been there for 400 years. The children of Israel had spent 400 years in Egypt. And they came out of there and God took them to Sinai. And at Sinai, he took Moses to the top of that mountain. And after 40 days, the finger of God wrote in tables of stone, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Amen. And he wrote the Ten Commandments. And Moses carried them down from the top of that mountain. The first set of commandments he broke. He went back up again, had another set. Right. And Cecil B. DeMille did a good job. He was a Jew. He parted the Red Sea the way it ought to be parted. Amen. And he wrote the Ten Commandments the way they ought to be wrote. I mean, that finger came down there and that fire cut those. How many's ever seen that? Yes, sir, buddy. When he opened up the Red Sea, it opened up. You, a lot of the Bible colleges in this country, they need to watch that movie because they're out here teaching these young men come through their Bible college. Well, it's the Sea of Reeds, Yom Suf, up in the northern part up there. You know, and then it was the time of the year when the water was down and so they could walk across and it might have gotten to their ankles. And, you know, and that was it. And that was the crossing of the Red Sea. Hogwash. They found the wheels of chariots buried at the bottom of the Red Sea, where the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. Yes, But you see, the liberal always has a problem believing in miracles. He has a problem with that, which brings us to this one. Now, here's what he says about evolution. In October, Pope Francis weighed in the controversial debate over the origins of human life, saying the Big Bang theory did not contradict the role of a divine creator, but even required it. Quote, when we read about creation in Genesis, we run the risk of imagining God was a magician with a magic wand, able to do everything. Process that for a moment. Is God not able to do everything? But that is not so. He created human beings and let them develop according to the internal laws that he gave to each so they would reach their fulfillment. Now listen to this. God is not a demiurge. He pulls a big word on you. But you folks in Sunday school, you know what a demiurge is. I've told you time and time and time again how the New Age movement teaches that the God of the Old Testament is a lesser God, a smaller God, a created God. He was created by Sophia. He's called a demiurge. He doesn't even know he's created. He's the old tribal wicked God of the Hebrews that said, go out and slay women and children and man and make no distinction among them. That's a demiurge. That's what they claim the God of the Old Testament is. Let me tell you who the God of the Old Testament is. He says, I am Jehovah, and beside me there is none other. That's who the God of the Old Testament is. But listen to this man. He says, God is not a demiurge or demigod or magician, the creator who brought everything to life. Evolution in nature is not an inconsistent with the notion of creation, because evolution requires the creation of beings that evolve. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this paragraph. I wrote this. I hand wrote this. And so I'll have a hard time reading it tonight. But I want you to listen carefully to what Linda Kimball, this article is entitled Gnostic, Chiliistic, Evolution, Satan's Alternative Plan of Salvation. Now here's what this woman wrote. Communism, or you could also slash progressive liberalism, they are one and the same, is a godless, philosophically pagan form of heretical Jewish elements and heretical Protestant liberalisms, upside down, anti-creation account, grounded in a chiliistic, evolutionary, apocalyptic proclamation of a coming new order based in belief in the inevitability of evolutionary progress from molecule to seaweed, reptile, ape, hominid, and finally God-man, and in the perfectibility of this fallen world. All right, we'll break it down. A lot of big words. But to paraphrase her, here's what she said. She said that progressive liberalism or communism is a philosophy that is based on the idea that Darwin's evolutionary thesis is the groundwork for man to take hold of that, embrace that, and by embracing it and taking hold of it, he'll be able to rise above his present condition and will ever expand and ever expand until he becomes a God-man. And in the process of doing that, he will shake off, fall away all of the old restraints, the old taboos, the old religious order. All of that will be cast aside and asunder because man is such a wonderful creature in himself that he deserves to evolve upward and onward. That's what they said. Now here's the problem. Here's the problem. I was reading an article this morning, and it was about, or it might have been yesterday, but it was about, it had to do with evolution. And this one individual chimed in and said this. So I'll have to paraphrase. I don't remember word for word, but here's essentially what here's what he said. Now listen to this. This is the thinking of an awful lot of people out there. You've had your day. Your God has failed. Whatever your God is, you might as well get used to the fact that that's long gone. We're living now in a progressive age, and all of this old stuff is falling away and dying. And you better get with the program or you're going to get run over and run out of the way, because there's no place for you in this new age to come. That's paraphrasing him. The idea is that if you do not jump on board this new pop philosophy, theology, whatever you want to call it, you're in the way. And you are not just somebody who is an opponent. You are stopping progressive evolution. You're stopping man's movement forward. You're trying to hold on to antiquated doctrines. Amen. Bible. You're trying to hold on to a worn out, antiquated idea of God. We don't need the God of the Bible. We're God. That's what they're preaching. And why? So how could they think they're God? They have evolved to that point. Most folks don't understand that when it comes to evolution, you have biological evolution, but you also have social evolution. Amen. 16 million people. Now let that number settle in for a moment. 16 million people died at the hands of two men. One was Joseph Stalin. The other was Adolf Hitler. 16 million people. And in both cases, they justified everything they did based on progressive evolution. The fact that men must purge themselves, cleanse themselves. Like Margaret Sanger said, useless eaters, human weeds. How many of you know who I'm talking about? How many never heard of Margaret Sanger? Margaret Sanger is the woman who started Planned Parenthood. And from Planned Parenthood, a whole new so-called scientific world developed. And that scientific world would sterilize people. That scientific world tried to manipulate the genetic structure of humanity. That scientific world literally, hands-on, was involved in weeding out human weeds and useless eaters. War takes care of a lot of the human weeds and useless eaters. That's why they've got bigger and better wars coming. World War III is on its way. And they're going to get rid of a lot of human weeds and useless eaters. But you and I both know tonight that it is the best, it is the bravest, it is the strongest of the young men of a generation that rise up and go lift their hand and swear allegiance to a nation and go off to battle, never to return. And some wars are so horrible that they'll wipe out a whole generation. Like the Battle of the Somme in World War I that I was talking about, when Great Britain was fighting against Germany and allied with France and other nations involved in it. And it was a horrible slaughter that took place. But these people who want to bring in a chiliastic, that means a millennium, that means a time of reign on earth, that means a golden age. Even the occultists like Aleister Crowley and the Theosophical Society printed a paper entitled The Golden Dawn. How many's ever heard of The Golden Dawn? That is a paper that has to do with the coming of a golden age where men are going to evolve into their godhood here on this earth. And the Age of Aquarius that they sang about 30, 40 years ago was a preparation for that, getting people ready for this coming age on the earth. All right, now, it's no longer coming. You're there. I told you this morning, when you have all the businesses that have lined up like they have against the state of North Carolina, because North Carolina, the people of North Carolina do not have a right. They have no right to tell anybody how to run their state. This, are you following me? I'm saying this in sarcasm. The pop culture of America is going to tell North Carolina how to run their state. And so what's happening is the people in North Carolina do not want men going into little girls' bathrooms. Then they are stopping the progressive evolution. They're stopping the chiliastic, the golden dawn, the golden age that's coming on this earth. They are in the way. And you're going to find out how tolerant liberals are. If you haven't found it out yet, you're going to find out how tolerant this crowd is. They'll cut you off from your job. They'll lock you up out here somewhere in one of these detention centers. They'll take your children away from you. They are the most vicious, vile characters on this earth. And for a long time, people said they are the loyal opposition. And they might have been 40, 50 years ago, the loyal opposition. In plainer words, they're both pulling for America. They see things differently. Not anymore. They are the enemy. Hillary Rodham Clinton said just a few days ago that I am the enemy. And I didn't let that fly across the top of my head. She didn't name me personally, but she might as well. Because I am not a progressive liberal. I'm a born-again believer. I'm a conservative. I believe in keeping the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I believe in keeping man's right to bear arms. I believe you have a right of freedom of speech. I believe you have a right to the possession of your possessions. I believe in the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. I believe in the things that are necessary for a free civil society. I believe in that. And I believe that you will never become God. You will never be a God man. I believe that you are a fallen creature. And the only way you'll ever have a relationship with God is through the new birth. Amen. That's what I believe. That brands me. I'm branded. I never thought I'd see the day that my country. I served 4 years in the Marine Corps for that flag. How many did he serve? 4 years. For that flag. Ask the man in the White House how many he served. And ask the woman that's running for president on the Democrat ticket. They start the zoo tomorrow night. Ask the woman who's running for the Democrat nomination. Ask her if she can pass a security clearance. That'll be a tough one. She's going to be the president. FBI can't even come in and give her a security briefing. Any of the rest of us would be at Leavenworth. That's what I am. And if I'm gone before next Sunday, folks, I know where I'm going. I do. I've given up on earth. I have. I've given up on this place. I preached for 40 years. I poured my heart and soul into it. Preached for 40 years. We're not going to change anything. No, we're not. Only those who want to hear the truth will hear the truth. Amen. Only those who want to be saved will be saved. Amen. Only what God intends to do, He's going to do. And He's calling His bride out of this world. Yes. After 40 years of ministry here at Temple Baptist Church, do you know what it's done for the culture around here on Woodrow Drive in Knoxville, Tennessee? That. Amen. But after 40 years of ministering on Temple Baptist Church, I've seen an awful lot of people walk down through here. Get on their knees and get right with God. Save, raise their families. I sure have. I've seen that. But as far as the government is concerned, the secular powers, evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, and the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force until Christ comes. May God Almighty keep our heads looking for His appearing. Father, in Thy name we pray. I pray You'd bless Your word tonight and bless it to the people. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. And amen. All right, folks, let's stand up tonight.